Titus 2, verse 11 and 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Go pray.
Dear God. Thank you for his time and help Daddy to reach low.
And for us to be able to hear.
And to be able to hear.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I stand before you, brethren, very thankful. You have stirred up great and eager anticipation for our Lord's return, and it's been a good weekend so far, and it seems that it goes by quicker and quicker each time we're together. I just wanted to share a couple thoughts from Brother Pat's text. First being that we are changed and affected by the things which we gaze upon and allow our sights to rest upon. Here in this text, we're reminded of the effects of what we're looking forward to. There's not a looking for something as if you're looking for something that's lost, because that can happen, but we're actually looking here in this text for something that we're going to receive, eagerly anticipating something that someone, in fact, is coming to us. Seeing, I'd like to describe as the capacity to perceive with our eyes. So when the Lord has opened the eyes of our understanding that we may see, and looking is the employment of that sight on an object. So in this text here, it tells us what we're looking for. It points us to that object of our affection, what our sight is fixed upon. The first appearing of our Lord, the grace of God that he brought, is teaching us now how to prepare and what to look for, which is his glorious return. What a marvelous thought, brethren. I've had my joy stirred up within me just thinking about seeing him face to face. We love him, even though we don't see him now. But there will be a day that we will see him face to face. In addition, as we look, it helps us to be diligent in our preparations. These things work together. We prepare as we look, and as we look, it helps us to prepare. The text here, I'm going to read it again, although Malachi did a great job reading that. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is as if godliness and worldly lust are the dirt that can be picked up as we walk through this world. It can be a film that covers our spiritual lens. And the grace of God allows us to kind of wipe away, clear off those things, so our lens could remain clear. So we are looking through a lens of sobriety, of righteousness, and godliness at what we're looking towards. So this is like an exhortation, like, throw off those things so you can see clearly and look for the thing that I'm directing you towards. The grace of God is the cleansing cloth that keeps our vision clear, and seeing through this lens of clear sobriety, righteousness, and godliness, it aids us in our attempts to look and see at a great distance our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord. And as we look afar off, as we set our attentions to see at a great distance our Lord coming, we're actually sensitive to those things that may impair our vision. And we can recognize when it's becoming smaller. We can't see as far. When we're employing that sight to look at a great distance. We have a blessed hope that we long to see our Lord. We long to see our King, the captive of our salvation, the bishop of our souls. We long to see the one that died for us. And doesn't it just delight your soul when you think about all the things that our Lord has accomplished on our behalf, his current ministry now, and that we get to see him soon. It just delights my soul thinking about that. So let us continue to provoke one another and stir one another up to utilize the sight that we've been given to look for his return.
Amen. Well, I want to give thanks to you, brethren, as well for extending yourselves, making great effort to be here with us, to encourage us with word and deed, to provoke us more and more. It's our desire to do the same for you. And it's a good mutual edification through seeing your faith and being in your company. And specific to the words that you've spoken, it just seems to be my perception that this is a great encouragement to our faith as we talk about these things to come. This is where our strength comes from. I think about this topic and I say I need to hear more about that. And so I think I can see that you want to hear more about it too. So it's good to participate in this together. Thinking about, the grace of God does this. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. There's many things that we throw off. And the grace of God teaches us to throw off these things, to throw off ungodliness, to throw off worldly lusts. But that's not all it teaches us to do. It teaches us to do things, right? To live soberly, to live righteously, to live godly in this present age. So when we're talking about the grace of God's ministration towards us, we're not just talking about things that we cease from doing. We're talking about things that we engage in doing. You got to live forward. It's difficult to kind of live backwards or live on the defensive. We got to live walking forward. That's the manner of the kingdom, right? The kingdom is upward and onward. And so it's not just stop doing these things, right? When you think about stopping behaviors, it kind of stops you. But when you talk about live soberly, live righteously, live godly in this present age, well then you can start running. And I'll just tell you that you need to hear a word from God that enables you to read it and run. Amen. To hear the word of God, to have great purpose in your life and to an eternal purpose, which is purpose in Christ Jesus, to engage in that and to run. This has been my experience. And so what I want to share with you today is that the grace of God also teaches you to look. And that's good. He said, none of these things move me. Paul had a lot of things to do, right? And Paul had great responsibility. Paul had great things against him. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's my intention now, is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. To testify that the text before us has great capacity to minister to you and to me immediately. I'll testify that it did this very thing for me, and my aim is for you to participate in the same. We've talked at great length about the various things associated with the coming of Christ. We've all done a wonderful job of focusing our attention on Christ himself as the focus of this, of his coming. That he's our gaze is fixed upon him, his appearing, not just the event, not just the day, but him himself. This is where we are knit to, right? This is where we're attached to. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to look for that blessed hope. I'm aware of my infirmity and my need for this. And a week ago, I felt in a whirlwind of care and of anxiety. And I wish I didn't have it. I wish I didn't have anxious thoughts. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And so when I find anxious thoughts within me, they don't belong. I don't know why they're there. And I felt like I was led to doubt my ability to leave my family. To do my tasks associated with work and even this meeting. And I was distraught and frustrated. And I'll just tell you that it's possible for maybe you to endure the same thing. And perhaps you're stronger than I am and it doesn't affect you the same way it does me. But I said, I know I'm going to preach in a week. And I didn't know when you're in a whirlwind and you're being pulled in this direction and that direction, sometimes you don't know where to go. I want to run. I want to do something, but I don't know which direction to go. And so I said, let me just sit down and read the text. And I began to weep because it delivered me. And it delivered me this weekend. But this thought can lift you up. Amen. And can cause those cares to flee away. And I recognize that this can continue to happen. But I also know from whence my strength comes from. Amen. And the North Star that Brother Eric spoke of proved to be true and secure. And as I looked unto and I thought about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus, the cares of this world just fell away. I needed focus, and the Lord provided. So when we think about, and you maybe listen to the recordings of what the brethren have ministered, I want you to take heart and know that these things are able to lift you up and to set your feet on a solid rock and on a firm foundation so that you can have good traction and run the race that is set before you with endurance and with joy. And I'm so grateful. I look back and I think, why do I have to go through this? Why do you have to get knocked down? But this is all the Lord's doing. And it was really cloudy. Things became cloudy and foggy. But when the Lord kind of set my focus, intent on this very word, the very word that I'm able to share with you today, is the very thing that built me up. The things that I was reading were being ministered to me as I was reading them, and it was immediate. In fact, the way I handled it, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and the way I handled it, I had my computer out, I had phone calls going off, and I had text messages coming in, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this, all these things that we have to do, and I kind of just put it all aside, read this text, and I said, close everything up, and I'm out. I'm ready to go now. You know, that was all that was really necessary, to just throw those, literally throw these things away. Just put them in the bag, pack up, and I'm ready to go. I hadn't intended them being that short of a meeting with my Lord in the coffee shop, but that's how it was. As soon as you get a word from the Lord, you're able to run. And I knew where my purpose was, and I knew what I was. Well, this purpose is looking for that blessed hope. As you look for that blessed hope, as you look for the appearing of our great God and Savior, it kind of orients you for everything else. All these other cares, this wasn't to no longer be concerned for them or no longer handle the business that you need to take care of, but now you can do it with the Lord. Now it can kind of be sanctified in your doing, and you can do it in the right manner. Well, I could have told somebody else this if they were in my situation, but to be able to participate in it by myself and to be able to go on with the doing of it was a great deliverance for me. His grace taught me. His grace came in that moment. And it taught me to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And immediately I was delivered from these other cares that really amount to nothing. So I can testify that the grace of God has appeared, and it teaches us this very thing. What I'm trying to say to you is that this isn't just a philosophy. This isn't just a good text, although it is a good text. This isn't just something to remember. You know, just memorize it and think about it. But to partake of it. But to really imbibe this living word that is able to save you. And it's as it saved me. That's how I perceive it. I was saved in that moment. He saved me from things that could easily have led me to further distress and to being distraught and to wanting to quit and to give up and to not carry out the obligations and the callings with which I've been called. But I'll tell you, when you receive that calling, grace comes alongside and empowers you. And so I praise God for the grace and the deliverance in my time of need. And so it's my goal here to exhort you as well to seek that grace consistently and look for that blessed hope, and you too will find salvation for your soul. So here's the singular thought that was of most help. I'm saying I'm testifying of the grace of God. This is more of a testimony than it is about hashing through this text. But I think this is part of our ministration, is to testify of the things that we've talked about. As you walk with the Lord, you have things to say about. Well, here's my testimony for you. It was that blessed hope. It was looking for the, some versions say, the blessed hope. That blessed hope. That. So there's a singular focus there. Right, when we're so, because you have many things to do, right? There's many obligations that we have, but there is a singular focus that will not cause you to ignore your other responsibilities. It'll cause you to correctly perceive them. And it's that blessed hope, looking for that blessed. The grace of God will teach you to look at the most important thing at the most crucial time. That's what grace teaches you to do. And it's not the same every time. But this singular hope, this singular appearing of the Lord and Savior will help you to navigate the affairs of everyday life.
Amen.
And so, while God has given us the ability to manage multiple things at a time, that stewardship is actually carried out in view of a singular focus. So like you can see, like under the law, there was like a particular thing how to handle each and every thing that might come up, right? If this happens, well, here's how you should do it. If this happens, here's how you handle that. But in Christ, it's fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and you can handle all these other things. But it's the grace of God that teaches us to do this. Jesus told Martha that there was no need to be careful and troubled about many things. That's the word. Don't be careful and troubled about many things, for only one thing is needful. And these things have been brought up, and we know these things, but these are the things that are able to deliver you from inordinate cares. Right? We want to be, I was thinking to myself this week that everything matters. Everything we do matters. Everything is important. Everything we do. But they can't take this preeminent position. And so there has been given, Christ has been given preeminence, and to look for that blessed hope is a preeminent thought. And it'll help you to carry out those other things that we must do. Remember, David sought for one thing. David wasn't a man who wasn't just, you know, on a mountain all by himself doing nothing. David is the king of Israel. David had a lot of things to take care of, but there's one thing that he sought after. There's one thing that he desired, and that enabled him to carry out everything else that he was doing. And Paul said, of course, in this, he said he forgot the things that were past and reached forward toward that one thing. And so this one thing mentality is extremely helpful, and I want to encourage you to look for that blessed hope. That one. This one. The coming of the Lord. Let that be a singular focus.
Amen.
When you fix your eyes on Jesus, fix your eyes on Him appearing the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen.
And so as we focus our mind on one thing, we're able to enable all the other things to fall into their right places. And as you fix your eyes on Christ Himself, He's. You can see that He is with you and that He is in you of a truth. And so now you can walk through these affairs of everyday life. You can walk through these things with Him and in fellowship with Him. And that's why looking is so valuable. Because right now it's a perception that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Right? But the appearing of the great God and Savior is the promise that we will see Him face to face. We will see Him as He is. And so as we look there, because of the gratitude and the satisfaction that we have now walking with Him by faith, we can anticipate a greater appearing, right? Because we know how glorious the fellowship with the Lord that we've been called into now is so good, we can look for his appearing because, well, we want to see him more. We want to be in an enhanced and in a closer fellowship with him. That's what the appearing of Christ is about, is that now we're coming closer. And so that's why we can look closer with him. We're not really experts in all of these other things. The more things I'm given to do, the more things I realize I don't know how to do. But it's just how it is. I kind of have this tendency of just saying yes when people ask me to do things and then figuring it out when I get there. But so this is, that might not be a good thing. I apologize for that. But these sorts of things, I don't have to be an expert in all these other details, right? We don't have to be. I think the people of God are experts in God, which is why they're able to handle all these other things. And so we want to take care of when you look at a brother who's just exceptional at doing a particular task. He's not just an expert in doing a particular task, and maybe he has been gifted in that way, but the Lord himself is able to give grace towards that task, and this one over here, and this one over here, and this one over here. So we walk in fellowship with him, constantly relying on his provision. This is the practical application, if you will, of this text, as I experienced it. Experts in God, and he gives them the grace to do what he calls them to. And so the hope of the coming of the Lord is an enhanced fellowship with him. And that view, that thought, that's a captivating thought, by the way. But as you think upon that, as you long for it, as you look for that appearing, he's able to stabilize your hearts. He's able to secure you. He's able to comfort you. He's able to fortify you. This is what that thought does. And as you do that, now you're not tossed to and fro by every wave and wind. You're not easily moved away from the hope of the gospel. This is how, as we look, he's able to stabilize and sanctify our very lives. And so we find both sobriety in this, right? It causes you to live soberly. You don't want to dabble in things that are of no value or that are a hindrance for his appearing. But also peace. So there's sobriety on one side and there's peace on the other. You throw off some things and then you have great peace because he's coming. Sobriety keeps us from defiling influences, and peace keeps us from unnecessary fear and paranoia. And so we can hold on to this coming day, this appearing, this day of the Lord. This is our blessed hope. Our hope's not in this world. I'm going to suggest to you that our hope's not even in the Lord's provisions in this world. If we hoped in Christ in this world, we're of all men most miserable. But and he does provide in this world. But that's not the primary hope. In fact, the primary hope is God. And that's precisely what the coming of the Lord is all about. The primary thing then is God himself. It's being with the Lord. And lo, you shall always be with the Lord. Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Those who have gone on before shall meet the Lord in the air. But look, we shall always be with the Lord is the point of that 1 Thessalonians text. We shall always be with the Lord. Even, you know, we've talked about this with the thief on the cross, and today you shall be with me in paradise. Well, where is paradise? What exactly is paradise? And there's all these theological discussions. But he said, today you shall be with me. That's the focus, right? So the focus is all, we can't get distracted by the things that are going on. The focus is always Christ himself. Well, that's how it is. This day is this day of an enhanced fellowship, of a closer meeting, of behold, here is our God, we have waited for him. The second coming of Christ is about this, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So let that thought marinate. Right? Let it just have its perfect work in your heart and in your mind, in your soul and in your spirit. It'll anchor you. Hope is an anchor. It'll anchor you. It's a blessed hope that we have. And so I want to encourage you to think on it, focus on it. Peter said it this way, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope upon that. And so there's many things that would seek to gain our attention, many things that would vie for preeminence. Some of these things are even good things, but that blessed hope, there's a singular focus, is reserved for the day of Christ when he shall receive his people unto himself, that where he is, there we shall be also. Forever and ever. This word, this gospel message, is able to save the soul, dispels all those inordinate cares and fears that we may have. Well, I want to talk about grace now. How do we keep this focus, right? How do we keep this looking? How do we make sure that our attention isn't drawn elsewhere? It's grace does this. Grace comes to do this very thing. I mean, we can think about grace to help in our time of need, and grace provides. Grace teaches you to look. Grace tells you and focuses your attention on the right things. I'm so grateful for it. Because in the flesh, you just can't do that. The flesh is not able to just like throw off all these things and just, I'm going to focus on heavenly things. The flesh doesn't, it can't see God. But grace comes and teaches, and faith responds. Faith learns. It increases, you might say. So grace is a provision from God that leads to the salvation of man. It comes from Jesus. It comes with Jesus. Grace came by him. Wherever Jesus is a place of grace. He's full of grace. He ministers grace to those who draw near. In Christ, we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand in hope in the glory of God. So grace always comes. Here's what I learned most recently. Grace always comes in the time of need. It was right in the time of need. I could almost give you the exact time if I looked back. I could probably check some emails and messages and find out this is when grace came. Grace came to me. But it's not just a one time. Grace always comes whenever the time of need. That's the time that it comes. That's the time when God Amen. Supplies what you need.
Amen.
And so we don't have to be fearful about entering into things that Amen. Perhaps we haven't done before. Amen. Or perhaps that the Lord's calling us to. By the way, the death that we all have appointed towards us is not something we've all experienced just yet. Right? It's a singular time. So there's obviously the tendency for fear of the unknown. You don't have to live that. Well, grace comes. Grace comes in the time of need. And whatever, it may be a smaller matter, whatever it is, depend upon the Lord, and grace will come to supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When the winds and the waves are raging, Jesus supplies the necessary grace to overcome and to escape. And so when you see the infirmity of your flesh and you cried out, Lord, I'm perishing, grace is that hand that reaches out and just takes you up. Grace is the word that comes and says, peace, be still. Grace does that. Jesus ministers that kind of grace to us. Grace teaches us where to look. And so looking for that blessed hope, I'll just tell you, it's not natural to man. It's not natural to the natural man. Looking above your circumstance is not, I think that we can learn that from when Peter was walking on the water and started sinking. It's the natural man will look upon whatever he's fearful of. He'll look upon what's right in front of him. He'll look upon the trial. He'll look upon the tribulation. But grace causes your attention to look up. And your faith is able to see further, right? It's able to see past the circumstance and able to see to the one who's able to deliver you from the circumstance. And so looking unto Jesus is a command that can only be obeyed by grace through faith. The eyes of the flesh cannot see past the peril of this world. But the gospel call is that very thing. It calls you up higher. It calls you to look higher. And grace supplies you with the ability to do so. So looking draws your attention away from this world, and it draws your attention upward. And so looking in this direction implies that there is a dissatisfaction with this world, right? So that's true. You know that you're looking for the appearing of Christ because you know who Christ is. You've been joined to him, and you want to be with him. But there's also, you've come to know that there's a dissatisfaction with this world, and so I want to look someplace else. So this looking for that blessed hope is because you're dissatisfied with what you found here. And what you find here is that there's no help here. There's no help from here to get me there. Even within ourselves, within our flesh dwells no good thing, but there is help. There is help available, and it's upward. Grace will teach you to look upward. I suppose that's because we're citizens of a better country. We're citizens of a heavenly country.
Amen.
That's where our supplies comes from. We're not talking about a law to correct our behavior, but a manner of living that comes from the school of grace and is fueled by hope.
Amen.
You know, when you're just given a command to look or a command to do anything, it doesn't come with hope. It just comes with obligation, whatever else it comes with. The law and the commandment doesn't always come with the hope, but the promise does.
Amen.
The promise comes with the hope. And what we're talking about here is looking for that blessed hope. And as you look for the blessed hope, hope's ministered to you. Grace is ministered to you. You get to partake of it as you look for it. You get to partake of some of the hope as you look for the greater hope, right? As you look for more. That's the manner of the kingdom. Law doesn't promote hope, but grace does. And so I was in the classroom of grace last week. I suppose we're in it right now. Grace is teaching And even as the grace of God teaches these things, flesh does not respond. Flesh is the bad kid in the corner. But faith learns. Faith increases. As grace ministers, faith is actually able to expand. It's able to get a hold of what grace is teaching us. Look for that blessed hope. Look for the appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And faith is able to just take hold of it. Faith is just able to be built up and to learn to do this, to learn more consistently. And so while I was in a distressed place recently, the Lord taught me. And so I'm able to learn, and I'm trusting that faith is going to continue to learn more and more and more and more and more. So it's a continuation, right? Maybe you graduate one class and go to the next, but it's all the class of grace. So grace is saying, look, and faith is doing it. This appeal to look for that blessed hope, it's an appeal to our faith. This word here from the apostle, he's calling your faith to look. Look for that blessed hope. It implies that we've been joined to the Lord in heavenly and are in heavenly places now. In fact, that's like a prerequisite. You must be joined to the Lord in order to look for him. In this most recent lesson I received from the classroom of grace, grace is teaching us to look for Christ himself and his appearing. Grace teaches many things, but it does teach that. It's creating in us an eager expectation of an enhanced fellowship with Christ. And so I'll just say, if that sounds good to you, it's because you too have been taught by grace. Wherever you think about the coming of the Lord, if that sounds good, that's because grace is teaching you to look, and your faith is learning to do so. Amen. And it's a pleasant experience. By the way, hope doesn't disappoint. Amen. So with this word, this promise of this blessed hope, the promise of Christ's coming, we're able to experience the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, that you might have hope. This hope does not make ashamed. It's a good hope given to us by grace. It's a hope that will make you happy. It's a blessed hope. Right? Haven't you experienced that? As you think upon this, you're happy. You're blessed by it. You're blessed by the thought of the coming of the Lord. It's a blessed hope. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. We are waiting for God. We're waiting for his glorious appearing, the appearing of Christ. This hope that we have saves us, and it saves us from this world, and it brings us to the one to come. It's bringing us to glory. It's a blessed hope. In fact, it's a hope that all of creation is dwelling in. Here's Romans 8. You're familiar with this. The creation itself was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we are saved in, this is the New King James Version, we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You see, we can endure the onslaught of distraction that is resident in this present evil world. We can say to this world, do your worst. Like Job, take my money, take my family, take my health. My hope is not in this world. You can endure those sorts of things as grace teaches you to look for the world to come, to look for the appearing of Christ. It'll enable you to endure it now, even to the point of being happy and to be joyful and to consider it all joy when you face various trials and tribulations. We can say, I know that if my earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, I have a house. I have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. No moth, no rust, no man, neither life nor death nor any such thing is able to destroy this. It is my hope. It is our hope. It is a blessed hope. This hope that we're talking about, it's able to enable you to endure the day. And it's enable you to have great joy as you finish your course. the calling with which you've been called by God. And so you'll find that in the end, this hope maketh not ashamed. No one who has this hope fails to purify himself, and no one who has this hope within himself will be ashamed on that day of his appearing. It'll all be worth it. And so this is my testimony to you, brethren. This is our testimony. This is that blessed hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Do you all have comments? Is this okay?
Multiple brethren in multiple fellowships that we've talked to have been severely distracted. It has been through. And with each one, I kind of thought it is if Satan knows our Achilles heel, where our weakest point is, whether it's our grandchildren, our children, our health, got too much to do, commitment, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And Sister Karen, when I spoke with her about it, mentioned Satan has the rest of the world. He's not worried about them. But he would like to find a way to get the rest of them. And he is distracted. And they are, it's almost overwhelming. I don't know if that was the name or not. It's almost overwhelming. And it is like he's ramping up the attack. Because his time, he knows his time.
Sure.
And I think that on a daily basis now, I need to start praying to take away these distractions. Because I'm an organizer and a checklist person and get things done. And it's gotten in the way.
I had concern because I looked at the things that were distracting me and I'm like, this really is what is distracting me. It seems so small. Nevertheless, grace is sufficient. And I'm glad to be taught now to prepare for larger things.
What you talked about this reminds me that a couple of scriptures here. I think that these things come on us so that the Lord can minister to us. So they're not, that they're not supposed to be, really, because he uses these things for our benefit.
Amen.
And it reminds me of, when he humbled thee and suffered thee with hunger.
Yeah.
He sat there in the cafe hungry, and he ministered by the word to you. I can do that. And then the other thing is, and therefore will the Lord wait.
Yeah.
It's at the right time so that he could be gracious to you.
Yeah.
So these are actually gifts from the Lord.
Amen.
I want to say that this backdrop here has really ministered to me.
Yeah, me too.
Everything that I've felt is close to home. I've been in this city.
Amen. Amen. Just touch.
God is true. What he has revealed about himself, he's true. He says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or even think. There are times when we just don't even know what to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts, he can take hold of the thoughts you have, but he's able to do it. In this testimony, you prove God's proved it to his being able to do these things. He says that his word effectually worked in you.
Yeah.
And say it effectually worked. You said that the word of God brought you out.
That was it. Yep.
The word, because his word is quick and it's powerful. He's living and active. You testified of this reality.
Yeah.
That God is true and he's able to do everything he said.
Amen. Brother Nathan.
Yeah, I was thinking about something, the one part you said was really stunning, but I just wanted to read this verse, and here it talks about the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And I was just thinking about, you know, what you went through in the week, how you brought it here, and it ministered to the people who are here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason you received your comfort. And that part you touched about was so stunning, about our earthly tabernacle, if it's destroyed, we've received a great gift. You know, if it's all gone, we have a place that we're going.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to heaven. Not because of works of righteousness, which we've done, his own purpose and grace. So our job here as a vessel, the way, you know, sometimes the trouble comes into our life, so that comfort, we can show those who are suffering without it, without the true peace, where they find their comfort, and it's not here.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with concerns. It's about a world that's ending and a life that's not. And you know, sometimes we go through other things. Like Christ was crucified, but he rose. He rose. And you know, us too, we go through sufferings that depend on God, and to be a display, a vessel for those around us that are suffering, because we have peace and joy in all things. And it really, if everything falls apart, this is not our home.
Yeah.
Pilgrim, stranger.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Those times are fruitful in that they help you shed things that hinder.
Yep.
It's like being pressed to throw, like they did Paul's shipwreck. He said, we threw out the tackling of the ship. Why would you do that? To survive.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw off things that otherwise you wouldn't throw off.
Yep. Amen.
And also count it joy. You know, you have all these testimonies in Scripture. Sister Tasha read that. And be encouraged that you know that your brethren are accomplishing the same thing. Not only is there the comfort of fellowshipping with those things, with other brethren, but there's the encouragement that they're being accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, oh, we're just all suffering the same thing, and I'm just so glad to know that you're suffering too. No, it's that they're being accomplished.
Yeah.
Is that you're accomplishing the suffering. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Well, I'll just tell you, this word is it's able to comfort and just bring you up.
I was thinking about the singular aspect of what meets our need to Christ. The Lord has put everything into Christ, and that's where we go. It's what we need. So that one thing that's needful, you mentioned it's always singular. But think about how big Christ is.
Yeah.
Think about what resources and riches, they're unsearchable, that he has. So I appreciate your comment, the fact that it is singular, but it might not always be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see the magnitude of Christ. And when we receive these helps from the Lord in these different seasons or times of tribulation or even of rejoicing, when we receive that one thing that was needful for that time, we want to see Christ in it. We want to allow those lessons to enlarge our vision of this person.
Amen.
It reminded me of when they were wandering and they had no food, and then there were ducks, fat, that came down on the hillside, and some were large and some were small. But everything came from above, and everything filled those that needed the quantity they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just shown that the grace that was given to you fulfilled you for that time, and it's sustaining us now as we're filling our oil vessels.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 You got it. Okay.